And a partridge in a pear tree. On the river of Christmas, my true love gave to me. And a
Scott,
partridge.
sweetie.
Yeah?
Do you know where the machete is?
Where the machete is?
You were using it to clear out the bamboo in the backyard, remember?
I do remember, yes. I think it's with the camping supplies. Why?
Oh, that's right. I'm going to go get it.
You need a machete at this moment?
I believe I was clear about what I was going to do if I heard one more Christmas carol after Christmas.
Wow. That was a lot of work for that death threat.
I am motivated.
Will I be spared from premature dismemberment if I point out that Christmas isn't over? It's a 12-day celebration, and...
I work in retail. I have been hearing Christmas music every day since October. October!
That is a fair point.
Right. So, the camping supplies, you say?
You're still in need of a machete with which to murder me?
Perhaps if I bring it out and leave it in plain sight, it will serve as a reminder.
I see. May I suggest an alternative course of action? Please take a look at the third finger on my left hand.
Your wedding ring.
This golden ring is mine, along with the promise of, "Till death do you part." And as I do not interpret that to mean, drive your wife to murder you, I will endeavor to do better. Because even though I am right about Christmas being a 12-day celebration, I am also aware it is better to be alive than right. So, what are your wishes?
I want to order the kids some pizza, and I want to go out for dinner. Sushi. As I think a Japanese restaurant is as safe a bet as anything to avoid Christmas carols. Also, the more I think about it, the more I want sushi. Also, no radio on the way to the restaurant. Just in case.
We can do all of those things because I love you, Mindy. Also, because I'm scared of you and a machete.
I love our perfect marriage. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Mom. Just got a text from Annie. Her shift is ending early, and I was going to go meet her at the food court. I'm not going to be home for dinner.
Oh.
Problem?
We were going to go out ourselves when you got back. You know what? Don't worry about it. Let us check with the residents of the lair. If I have to send your father to go get takeout...
Or we could kick out the intruders if they can't stay.
Your father has a point. Enjoy yourself, honey.
Thanks.
Hey, intrepid adventurers.
What's up, Dad?
Your mom and I want to go out for dinner, and Brad's out for the evening. I was going to leave you some cash for pizza delivery. Is that a problem for anyone?
Let me call my dad. I don't think he'll care, but he'll definitely care if I don't let him know.
Somebody shouldn't have gone to Ben Davenport's party last month.
Shut up, Ken.
Okay, give him a call. And if you need to go home, we'll drop you off.
It was harvest time in the wheat fields of Darius Potter. In 2008, he and his family had spent countless man hours keeping up the fields. The year before, they'd invested in improvements to keep mice and rats away from the silos. But a different type of invader would be visiting this year. It was Darius's wife, Vanessa, who first spotted them. Within the beautiful fields of gold, perfect rings had been indented into the crops. The plants were unnaturally flattened to the ground, and yet not one wheat stalk had been broken. The family's first thought was that it was a prank by local teenagers. But was the explanation more otherworldly?
There's the mute button. Mike Stanton.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Carrie, everything all right?
It's fine. Mr. and Mrs. Connor are going out, and so is Brad, so... technically, there won't be an adult in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But we're almost done with the game. Is it okay if I stay?
Who's there with you?
Just Ken and Michelle.
And you're playing...
Chimeras and Catacombs?
All right, but that better not turn into Spin the Bottle.
Okay, one. I'm not 11 years old, And two, with Ken? Are you nuts?
He's over here quite a bit.
Dad.
I'm just saying. Give me a call if you need a ride home. Love you, Pumpkin.
He's good with it.
All right. Have fun.
Okay. You cast the fine trap spell on the door, right?
Yep, it's all clear.
Then I'm kicking it off its hinges. 16?
You don't knock it off the wall, but it does burst open. Inside is a large room lit by a huge fire in a bronze brazier which stands on a pedestal in the middle of the room. There's an altar made of black marble on a platform against the back wall. It's bare except for one thing, a large golden bell.
Thank you. We've been looking for the Bell of Wakefulness for the last 6 sessions.
I swear, if this is a decoy, I'm going to scream.
And also in the room is a large statue of a man, also made from black marble. It's carrying a warhammer, and the moment the door opens, so do its eyes. Roll initiative.
4.
13.
It got a 14. You just kicked down the door, so it makes a charge attack on you. I assume a 22 is a hit.
Ugh, we are screwed.
Lose 15 hit points.
15? Crap.
Your turn.
I'm hitting it. Full attack, so I get 3 shots at it. First attack, red die. Blue second, and green is the third. Okay, that's a 12, 17, and 14.
It's not hard to hit. All of those make contact, but only that middle attack is going to do any damage. Roll it.
Oh, come on.
You got a 4 on a 3d6?
Okay. These dice are going in the freezer as punishment.
4 damage. Well, that doesn't kill it.
You think?
Ken, what are you doing?
Ooh, that's a cool idea. I have Petrify prepared today. Can I cast that in reverse?
What do you mean?
Like, instead of turning a person into a statue, I can turn a statue into a person?
You can make a spell lore check to try to figure out how to do it.
23!
Okay, you figure out how to cast a spell, but making those calculations takes your entire action. You can cast it next turn. For now, it's back to the statue. It hits you twice, Carrie, and it does a total of 21 damage.
Well, that brings me down to 2. I'm going to try and disarm it. Oh, now I roll a 20.
Well, that works, obviously. Where do you want the warhammer to end up?
Can I drop my cutlass and steal it from him?
Done and done. Ken.
I cast reverse petrify.
So, fleshify?
Okay, it rolls to save and it gets a 3.
Yes!
So the solid stone animated statue becomes solid flesh, and, not having a skeleton to hold it up, it slumps to the ground like a sack of gelatin.
Ew.
I hit it with its own hammer until it's a pancake.
Okay, that is messed up.
Your spell only lasts 5 rounds. I'm not letting it get back up.
Whatever. So before I need to roll my constitution to keep from vomiting, I run over to the bell. Is it the Bell of Wakefulness?
It sure looks like a Bell of Wakefulness.
Okay, let's finally wake up the Queen of the Unicorns. I pick up the golden bell and I give it a ring.
What was that?
My sister sent me a text. Oh, geez.
What is it?
She's at the arcade with your brother, and she sent me a picture of her skee-ball score with a text saying, "Ha ha, loser boy."
Wow, she got 600 points?
Sis, I am so proud of you and the fine example of maturity you set for me every day. And send.
Do you need to check that?
You wish.
Inside the golden circle of the four winds, 2 warriors come together to test their mettle. Final battle. Fight!
Oh, too slow!
4-hit combo.
You were saying?
7-hit combo. You've been grappled!
Ah, sweaty bear hug of doom!
That's not what the move is called.
Counter grapple!
Whoa!
Ring out!
And there you have it.
Jelena Ring is the queen of the Golden Circle.
And I'll be holding that over your head for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I assumed. Shall we get some burgers?
Loser buys.
That's what I like about you. The classy way you handle victory.
You know what I like about you?
What?
The way you notice how classy I am.
Oh, boy.
So, did you get your grandmother that brooch?
What?
You've been carrying a bag from Pete's jewelry. I assumed, since they're having that after-Christmas sale, you got that brooch for your grandmother after all?
Well, yes, but that's not what's in the bag. This is for you.
What? No. You already got me a Christmas present. You didn't have to.
Annie, listen. I was in the store, and I saw this beautiful golden ring, and I thought of you.
Ring?
Will you accept it?
Brad, I don't... We're still so young, and I don't... Oh my gosh, this is a donut. You put a donut in a box and put the box in a jewelry bag. You're a jerk. You're a jerk who's bad at video games.
Oh, low blow.
But at least it's a very nice donut. Even though you scared me to death.
I was just testing the waters.
What?
Well, this is my last semester coming up. When I get back in May, I'm going to look for a place. I was kind of hoping to plant the seed of you coming to join me.
You want me to move in with you?
I don't need an answer now. I just wanted you to think about it.
And you symbolize this with a donut?
A gourmet donut. It says so on the box. Like I say, just think about it.
Well, it's kind of funny you should mention that. I got a bonus check from work. It's not huge, but it's probably enough for a security deposit. So, I guess my question is, how would you feel about moving in with me?
Does that mean I get the donut?
Absolutely not. This is gourmet, after all. But I might let you take me out somewhere nice for New Year's. For a price.
Cinnamon roll?
You know me so well.
So where are you thinking of getting an apartment?
I really haven't looked that hard. I mean, I certainly don't know about 6 openings they have at the new Goose Nest Apartments they just finished building.
We'll look tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Roomy.
You've been listening to 5 Golden Rings, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Scott was Adam Gastengee. Mindy was Andy Gastengee. Brad was Andrew Dell. Michelle was Liz Music. Carrie was Brianna Kuby. Ken was Aaron Menke-White. The documentary was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Mike was Rick Tennant. Annie was Rebecca Scheimer. And the voice of the arcade game was Jill Wenzel. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.